I've been thinking about the end of the year. I've been thinking about the things that happened in this last month of the year. And this word insight has really just come to me since I've got here today. But the thoughts I have on my mind is something I've been dwelling on for quite a while. So it's got kind of big. I got several scriptures. May not read them all, but I'd like to ask the Lord to direct our words that they'll be profitable to our spirits and our souls today. End of the year, if all the businesses around, if they have a, if they don't have a fiscal year, if they just operate their business on a finance, you know, the calendar year, the end of the year is inventory time. It's time to look into their business and see what they have in inventory. And that means they have to pay taxes on that, but that's a side point. They have to begin to look within their building and within their warehouse and within what their company holds, and they have to start counting how many bottles of shampoo they have and how many nuts and bolts they have or whatever it is that they sell. Whatever their business is, that's what they have to start keeping track of and start being aware of what is in there. And so I've been thinking about ourselves and been trying to look within myself. Last Sunday we had some thoughts about how magnificent God is and how powerful He is and all of that. And so I'd like to continue that on a little bit with the perspective of looking, what can He see in me? And what do I see in me? I'd like to turn with to Psalms 139 and begin reading at the first verse. A lot of times I just refer to the last part of that psalm, but I'd like to begin at verse 1 this morning. Psalms 139 and verse 1 beginning. It says here, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsetting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Now, David's perspective here is that God knew all about him. And it gets closer and closer as I read more verses here. You know, I was thinking this morning before I came here, I was thinking about a lot of times we have surveillance cameras. And sometimes we go into a place of business and we realize they have a surveillance camera. We just notice it's in this little black plastic little bubble hanging down from the ceiling. Or maybe we're just in a part of the store and realize, hey, there's a camera looking right down at me. And we don't know if anybody's on the other end of the camera looking or if it's just being recorded. We don't know that. And I was thinking about what if our homes had surveillance cameras in it? You know, there's, you could have surveillance. If I had a front porch or a back porch, maybe a place with some chairs and all that, and you had a surveillance camera, you could have, I don't know, you could put half a dozen out there. It wouldn't matter. It wouldn't bother me at all. I mean, I'm not going to do anything on my front porch that I don't care if somebody sees. But, you know, there's places in my house I just assume you didn't have a surveillance camera. You know, there's places that I just, it'd make me feel uncomfortable if I knew there was a surveillance camera in that room. And so I'm thinking about David's awareness, it says here it's a psalm of David, and David's awareness of God's knowledge of himself. He says, "Thou knowest my downsetting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all of my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me." Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's just beyond my comprehension. And it's beyond mine. How does God know all of this about all of the people in the world? I don't believe that David was unique and God only monitored David. You ever thought about that? Well, God only really watches that close on certain people. Now, I don't believe that's true. I believe he knows all of us the same. All right? It'd make us feel, you know, there'd be certain things that we wouldn't ever want to volunteer for in life if we felt like, well, we was going to come under extra scrutiny from the Lord. But I don't believe that's the way it works. I believe David was just as human as I am. I believe he was just as susceptible, and I'm just as susceptible as David was to God's surveillance. And so David's perspective is that he knew. He knows his thoughts. He knows he's beset him. He's behind him, and he's before him, and he's laid his hand upon me. He says, "Such knowledge is too wonderful for me." That's verse 6. "It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence?" You know, Jonah didn't get very far away, did he? He thought that he was going to flee from the presence of the Lord, but when he got out there in a ship in the middle of the sea, guess who knew where Jonah was? God knew where Jonah was. And Jonah come to the realization, I can't run from God. I need to come to that I need to recognize that too. The realization. I can get in the boat. I can get in the bottom of the boat. I can be in the dark, out in the middle of the water. Maybe I could go to another country where surely the Lord doesn't speak Portuguese or some. Yes, he does. He really does. You know, he knows where I'm at, literally. And he knows where I'm at spiritually. He says, "If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light unto me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." I realize that you know all about me. That's what David said. He said, "My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest part of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them." I drive by a sign on the way to Rodney's house once in a while, and it's a it's a sign that promotes the idea that children are children even before they're fully developed. That they're it's a sign promoting that life begins much before actual birth, at conception. And so they have some pictures of images of children that's, their forms are, their members are not fully formed. It's on a sign there in Carthage. I can take you to it if you want to see it. It's not gross or anything like that, but you know, the Lord knew David when he looked like that. I believe he knew me when I looked like that. I believe he knows you just like you are right now. He has that kind of insight into every one of us. And as we come to the end of this year, as we come to the end of the year 2019, I used to think the year 2000 looked so far off in the future, and I would be 35 that year. That would really make me old. And it's so far behind now, it's like it's just a faint memory, the year 2000. Here we are at the end of another year. And it's time, I believe, at this time, if never before, to think about the inventory we got and to consider, and what about insight? Oh, I know this is not a dictionary definition, but looking within ourselves. David wasn't the only one that had the realization that God knew him. Let's go to Jeremiah, the first chapter, and notice what he said here. We'll begin reading maybe verse 4. He says, "Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." Did you know the Lord, Jeremiah, the first verse says, the words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, the priests that were born in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin. This is Jeremiah's words. And he says, the Lord told him, I knew you before you was born. I knew who you was. Before you was completely formed. David wasn't the only one. Jeremiah wasn't the only one. Let's turn to Genesis, the 18th chapter, and notice what it says here. Genesis chapter 18, and we notice here in verse 17, he says, maybe verse 16, "And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, Shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I know him." The Lord knew Abraham. "I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, and the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him." So the Lord has communicated to many people. These are three different distinct individuals that the Lord has communicated and spoken in his scripture. That there's others, but these are the three I chose to read for to you, that I really know some details about you. I know what is on the inside. I know I have some insight, not just insight into what's going to happen, but I have some. I'm able to look inside of you. I know what makes you tick, so to speak. I'm able to look, and if these men that's written about in the scripture, you know, I believe God's the same for us. He can look right down inside. So I want us to think about God's knowledge. You know, I told you last Sunday, I believe he's magnificent. I believe that God has, it's too wonderful for me to know how to, it's beyond my comprehension to be able to explain the magnitude of God's capabilities and his power and his authority. But let's turn over now to Hebrews, the fourth chapter, and notice what the Apostle Paul said here. And I want us to get a hold of what the details that he knows about us. Hebrews chapter 4, and we're going to begin reading in verse 12, I think. He says here, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifested in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto him, unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." Well, who's he talking about? I believe he's talking about the God of all creation, but he's also talking about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He knows what is going on. It says this, with whom we have to do. Who are we going to have to be reconciled with on the great day? With God. And I believe he knows what's going on in our hearts and in our lives. And I don't believe that David, nor do I believe Abraham, nor do I believe that Jonah in his specific situation, or Jeremiah, or the Apostle Paul in his perspective. I don't believe these are just peculiar, unique, odd situations. It's too much for me to explain or understand. I don't even know how some of the things work in our digital age, but this is far beyond all of that. Far beyond all of that. I have this confidence that I believe God knows what's going on in our hearts, in our lives. So, do we know? Let's go back to Psalms 139 and notice what the psalmist said. He says here, I refer to this quite often. He says, "Search me," verse 23, Psalms 139. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Does that make you feel uncomfortable? I don't think it should. I don't think it should. You know, God loves you. The scripture says that. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And if someone really loves you, should it be a fearful thing for them to search your heart and to try your ways? It shouldn't be. So I'll just ask us here this morning, as we begin to have a little insight into ourselves, would it trouble us? I told you earlier, if you want to set up video surveillance on my front porch or at my back door, even in my kitchen and in my living room, maybe in the room, we call it the mud room, where we come in the back door and take off our dirty boots and dirty coat. You want to put a surveillance, you put two or three in there. It doesn't really bother me. But there are some places in my house I just assume you didn't put surveillance cameras, you see. So, but the Lord knows what goes on in those rooms too. The Lord knows what's going on. And so it shouldn't. You know, I'm not going to be Lord, help us not to be like Jonah. Jonah thought, you know, if I get down in the bottom of the ship and I sail for an undisclosed location in the opposite direction, God's not going to bother me. He's going to forget I even exist. Wrong. God hasn't forgot that any of us exist. We can't play Jonah. I mean, you can play Jonah if you want to, but you're not going to get away with it. The Lord knows where you're at. The Lord knows what's going on. So isn't it much better to be like David and say, search me, O Lord. Know my heart. We're coming up to the end of this year, but, you know, we talked earlier about some of those that's facing bereavement because the end of some of their loved ones' lives came. I don't know when my time is going to be up. Will I see Christmas time 2020? I don't know. Serious thought. I believe the Lord knows. I'm confident that I'm not peculiar and that God doesn't know what's going on in my heart and my mind. Wouldn't it better to live in a manner like David said, search me, O God, and know my heart, try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So I'd like for us to conclude our little thought this morning with this. I'd like for us to look at Proverbs, the 24th chapter, and notice what the writer said here in Proverbs chapter 24, in verse 32. He says, maybe we'll start up a little bit before. In verse 30, he said, I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles and had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well and looked upon it and received instruction. I looked upon it and considered it well. I saw, it says. There was something that came in my line of sight. So this morning I hope that the Lord can help us all to get who we are in our line of sight. And then I'd like for us to do some insight, looking within. Who is that? Is that me? He says, then I saw and considered it well. I began to think about it and have some insight. I looked upon it and I received instruction. You know, many times it's hard to know and hard to understand until you can see it. And I think sometimes we have to look inside. Lord, search me. I'm willing for you to search me. That's a good attitude. But you know, sometimes when the Lord searches us, He wants us to be looking too. Lord, help me to see. I want to be able to consider it and receive instruction. Might not be sin. It might not be something you need to repent of. It might be like, oh Lord, I could do so much better. I realize I haven't been all that I should have been. Help me to take some inventory this morning and have some insight. In Ecclesiastes, the 9th chapter, notice the first 3 verses here. He says, "For all this I considered in my heart, even to declare all this, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. No man knoweth either love or hatred by all that is before them. For all of this I considered." He's stopping and thinking. That's what I want us to do this morning. I want us to stop and consider in my heart. The righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of the Lord. No man knoweth either love or hatred by all that is before them. You know, we have a choice to either cultivate love or hatred. And it's not somebody else's responsibility. He says, no man knoweth love or hatred by all that is before them. All things come alike to all. Did you hear that? All things come alike to all. There is one event to the righteous and to the wicked. Sounds like another verse that says, a rain cometh on the just and on the unjust, doesn't it? All things come alike to all. There is one event to the righteous and to the wicked, to the good and to the clean and to the unclean, to him that is that sacrifices and to him that sacrifices not. As is the good, so is the sinner, and he that sweareth as he that feareth an oath. This is an evil among all things that are done under the sun, that there is one event unto all, yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their hearts while they live, and after they go to the dead. I know this is Ecclesiastes, and I know it can be kind of reading comprehension can be somewhat difficult, but this is what I get. He starts out the first verse of this chapter, and he says, "For all this I considered in my heart." And then he begins to tell us what he was considering. Begin to think about the events of life. Some people choose to go the path of the wicked, and some choose to go the path of the righteous. We know where the path of the wicked leads. It leads to obviously spiritual death, and in literal death, they experience the fullness of spiritual death. I just want to ask us today to take inventory. Know that Jonah didn't get away with it, and you won't either. God knows where you're at, literally. He knows where you're at in your spirit. And sometimes I think we might even be okay with that to a certain extent, and yet not really be willing to face what's really going on, who I really am. What is it that's my motivation? And what is it that's down in my heart? What is it that's causing me to tick? I've just been challenged in my own self to do some insight. Look down in my heart and my life. I'm going to tell you, I look down in myself and I realize there's room for improvement. There's room for improvement, and I need the Lord's help. I want to be what God would have me to be. I always want to live in a way that I can say, "Search me, O God, and see if there's any wicked way in me." But I don't just want, you know, it's one thing to just take a big, I know this is going to sound kind of silly, but you know, it's one thing to get the notice that the IRS is going to audit you and for you to just show up with maybe two or three tubs of receipts and invoices and stuff, and like say, well, here's my receipts. You tell me what I'm supposed to do. Sometimes I feel like we say, search me, O Lord. Just tell me whether I need to turn left or right. I think the challenge is closer than that. I think the challenge is we need to do some inside ourselves. Lord, help me to consider and get some understanding here. What is it that I need to do different? I don't want to just come and you know, if the Lord says you need to repent, well, by all means, let's do it. But what are you repenting of? What are you repenting for? Yeah, that's where the real power is at. You know, if you're going to pay taxes on inventory, let's know what we got in the inventory. I wouldn't want to pay taxes on inventory that I didn't own. I don't want to accept guilt or responsibility for something that is not really me. But Lord, help me to have the initiative to look in there. Is that really good or is that not so good? What does it look like? Have I been what I ought to been? So I just want you to know I'm challenged. Desire your prayers that I'll have the courage to have the insight in my own self that I ought to have. You pray for me.